repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, and Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his mercy power revealing. I made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And in the cry did Jesus come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed command and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yes, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He clung to me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He belongs to me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
For opening prayer this morning, would you please? Then you have book number 635-635. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn. The first, second, and fourth verse of 635.
Tempted and tried with all faith to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never will it is alone, but Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And when death has come and taken it is a home so lonely and big. Then do we wonder why others prosper? Living so wicked year after year. But Father alone will know about it. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. And when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall be there in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. So Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know more about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother,
let's bow in prayer. Father, we humbly approach your throne, thanking you for letting us gather in this place this morning to be able to sing hymns of worship to your name, thanking you for all the blessings that we have. Father, we have truly been blessed for all you have shown to us. Your love indeed overflows. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son who came to this earth, died on that cruel cross, that we might be redeemed and to be able to sing these praises to you. For we know we are so fortunate that we have a Savior that thought so much of us that he gave his life for us. He gave us the example that we need to follow to put others first above ourselves. Father, we ask that you watch over the elders of this congregation. We ask that you give them a double blessing, knowing that the job is very difficult that they do in shepherding us. We ask that we follow their leadership, listen to their advice, and take to heart the advice that's given, whether good or bad. Father, we ask that you watch over Skippy as he provides a lesson for us this morning. We ask that we listen intently that we ponder upon the words spoken and we apply them to our life, and that it may, if it needs to be so, prick our heart, that we may be able to act upon what must be done in our lives. Father, watch over those who are suffering from this dreaded coronavirus. They're suffering with the breathing problems and with the aches, and the families that are suffering with watching their loved ones suffer the way they are. Yes, that you comfort them, and that if it be your will, Father, help them to get better. But if not, Father, we ask that you give them the comfort that they need as they transition to another part of their lives. Father, watch over us as we go about our lives in this community. We ask that we be your lights in this community, and that we may shine bright, and that we may never hide it under a bushel, but it may be that light on the hill that everyone sees. Guide us and protect us. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
With a prayer in mind for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, if you would please. In the hymn book, the hymn number 371. 371, we'll sing all three verses of this hymn. 371.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts abroad in closer union, while partaking of the bread, preciously all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved one wondrous measure, now that day the best of men brought us with that matchless pleasure. Yea, for us his life was given, precious feast on them, surpassing wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we stop, Christ gently whispers, this is my memory.
Our order of worship service is now the Lord's Supper. Before us we have two emblems commemorating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup as the fruit of the vine was shared for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we greatly, greatly appreciate this privilege that we have to assemble on the first day of the week and to remember our precious Lord and our precious Savior. Thanking you for this opportunity we have to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for allowing your Son to die on our behalf. It is in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Amen.
If everybody's ready, we'll give thanks for the fruit of the vine. So let's give thanks. Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for the fruit of the vine which we have before us, so fitting to represent your own Son, precious blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. And often as we partake of it, let us have our mind focus on the purpose of that shedding of that blood. And we're so thankful that you, Son, gave that blood for us that we could have our sins remitted. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
We have another commandment, and that is to give, as God has prospered us to do so. At this time, we have the privilege. Let us give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for all of the ways and means that you provide for each and every living soul. Thanking you, Father, for all of the abilities that we possess, enabling us, Lord, to take care of all our needs. We're so grateful and thankful that we have this honor and this privilege to give back in supporting the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you praise in his name. Amen.
Number 925 will be the song of invitation this morning. 925. After marking that hymn, we would please go to your supplemental hymn book and turn to hymn number 4. Hymn number 4 in the supplemental hymn book. We will sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn. Now, as all those who can easily stand, please stand for the time. Number 4.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, through the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul, from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win, and we sing, oh, I want to see him, the heart is made, there my Lord, there to sing forever of his saving grace, his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me live, my Lord, you see now cares are past, home and land, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's net may beg the soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. And we say, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there my Lord, there to sing forever of his saving grace, his saving grace on the streets of glory.
Scripture for this morning's lesson, titled "Are You Enrolled in God's School of Grace?" will be taken from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Once again, that's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And now for our brother Skip.
Once again, good morning. Truly God has once again been good to us, and he's spared our lives just one more time to come to assemble ourselves together this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. Just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I just want to reiterate what Brother Gilbert had made mention of. If you're sick and you cannot make it, or if you're home, you can tune in to the services now on Sunday as well. Just use the same number that you've been using on Wednesday night, conference call. It's the same number that you can call in on Sunday as well. If you don't know the numbers, it is in our bulletin as well. So just want to just reiterate on that. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to once again assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have in attendance. And Lord, we just thank you for those who've taken part in our service thus far. And now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Give me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you enrolled in God's school of grace? If you are not enrolled, you can be enrolled today. How? By hearing the word of God and believing it, Romans 10 verse 17, by repenting of your sin, Luke 13 3 and 5, by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32 and 33, and by going down in the watery grave of baptism. Acts 2, verse 38. And baptism is a burial. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. And when you come up out of that water, you are added to his school, the church. But then also, when you have enrolled in this school, you don't have to worry about tuition, because tuition has already been paid by Jesus shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. But if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through baptism, you are already enrolled in God's school of grace. You have been on the roll call since the day you became a Christian. What you need to do is you need to keep on, keep up your studying, keep up your attendance. And the question comes at this particular time, that if you were to receive your spiritual report card right now, how would you do? And that's something that you need to think about on this morning. But also, when you look at this school, in this school, there is a school catalog. And in it, he describes what the curriculum includes, what the incentive plan is for being a good student, and what provisions God has made to enable each student to progress toward an A+. And he wrote all of this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through verse number 15. And so this morning we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the curriculum of grace. We're going to look at the motivation of grace. And then we're going to look at the enablement of grace. Let's notice the curriculum of grace. When you think about a curriculum is a schedule for dispensing knowledge. As Isaiah 28, verse 10, line upon line, precept upon precept, so that students can grasp knowledge and master it. And so we have to understand that grace is our subject. Grace is the most vast and the most comprehensive subject ever. Grace is a word that describes God's activity toward man. From grace, we receive all the benefits of eternity and everything we need to know for life is tied up in this grace. Furthermore, not only is grace our subject, but grace is our teacher. Because in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In another translation, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Think about what a teacher does. Literally, a teacher is a giver of knowledge or skills. But here, however, grace as our teacher implies so much more. Grace is our instructor, our advisor, our encourager, our exalter. It admonishes us. It guides us. It restrains us. It rewards us. And it corrects us. So how does grace accomplish all of this instruction? Well, God's grace trains us by increasing our understanding of God, the great giver, so that we can explore, so that we can enjoy all that he has given. So in order for us to understand God's grace, he has made a plan for our education. In other words, the curriculum of grace has two basic courses. Number one, the first course is holiness. The goal of this course is to teach us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passion. It has always been God's idea in God's plan. Man does not only say no, but his decision to say no is backed by the grace of God, giving us the power to make it a reality. So the first course is holiness. But then the second course is the curriculum of grace, is mastering your impulses. In other words, the goal of this course is to learn to let God bulldoze the trash away from our lives and to allow him to build positive spiritual qualities in you and I. His method of teaching us is familiarity with that which is holy. And so we understand that these two courses may seem to be too difficult. Some may feel that it's not possible to do well in courses like these. But Paul insisted that it is possible. It's possible for the people who wholeheartedly, for the people who are enthusiastically apply themselves to knowing God and to knowing a God who loves to give and who keeps on giving to his people like you and me, who don't deserve God's goodness, who don't deserve God's blessings, but he keep on blessing us anyway. And so we have to understand that we can pass the class, but like any good school, the courses we must take have an established motivational plan undergirding them, which brings us to point number two, and that is the motivation of grace. What is the incentive plan for being a good student? See, most of us would agree that it is easier to learn when we have something to look forward to. And so, in other words, in school, you look forward to an A. You look forward to being on the honor roll. You look forward to getting a reward. Because why? Our educational system has built incentives, but also God's grace, God's school, have some incentives too. Let's look at them in verse number 13. When you look at verse 13 of Titus chapter 2, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? We have something to look forward to, and that is absolutely incomparable to any earthly reward. Paul calls it the blessed hope. We have all said that our hope for this and our hope for that. I hope it does not rain. I hope it does not snow. I hope we get a good grade on the test. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I hope that I get my tax refund, amen, next year. But in that case, hope is like wishful thinking. But hope in the New Testament, however, is not something we wish for.
but it's something we are already assured that will take place. And so the word blessed in this phrase refers to the fact that it is inspired happiness and delight. Look what Paul points out in verse number 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men," not some men, but to all men. His return is our motivation to keep learning, to keep growing in his school of grace. And if motivation is not enough, then there is the third thing, and that is the enablement of God's grace. What provision, in other words, what provisions God has made to enable each student to progress toward an A plus? That's what we're trying to get to. Well, look at verse 14 and 15, because he says there, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." See, notice that God's grace enables us to make it, enables us to pass the course. It enables us to learn all of the lessons, come forth shining as gold. How? Number one, he redeems us from all wickedness. In other words, Christ paid the ransom to release you and I from the power and the bondage of sin. Not only did he redeem us from all wickedness, but he enables us by removing our guilt. He purifies us. He sets us free to serve him. And no matter what we have ever done before, I want you to understand that God's grace is sufficient for you and I. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is given a kiss and not a lecture. He is given a party instead and not an attitude that says, "Just wait and see if you can make it." Thank God that he enables us by his grace. Thank God that you and I can be enrolled in his school of grace. Because one day we can be able to graduate from God's school of grace. If we've been found faithful to God, we can hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over many." And so, as I close, that was a short one. As I close, the catalog is clear. The school bell has been rung. The teacher is passing out the test. The question is, how will you do? Have you studied what you need to be studying to be able to pass this test? We are in a test right now. We're going through this pandemic. We're going through problems and illnesses. But if we stay focused on the teacher, we can make it. If we stay in his word, we can be able to make it. So how will you do this morning? Will you pass the test? Or will you fail the test? Have you been applying yourself? Or have you been falling short of your responsibility? You know, but God knows as well. And if you have been falling short of your responsibility, if you have not been doing as God would have you to do, if you have not obeyed or enrolled in God's school of grace, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not too late. It's not too late to make a fresh start. It's not too late to make the grade. God's school of grace is freely given, and it must be freely received and freely pursued. If you're here this morning, gave you earlier the plan of salvation. You heard the word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sin, confess Christ. Be baptized. If you've been here and a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, why not respond to the invitation? Do it right now. As we stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
Jesus, I am free. Jesus, I am free.